It's just too important. You're not going to intimidate us. You're not going to try and stop us doing what we want to do. So it's a case of smiling the whole way, no matter how much you hurt, and we're just going to get it done.
The first American man to win the Boston Marathon had people talking just like that since 1983. It's the first time it's happened, crossing the finish line Monday in a race that has certainly now become a symbol of resiliency, I guess is the best way to put it, the whole Boston Strong thing, and putting behind that city the bombs of last year. So how about that? Meb Khalifke, I think that's how you say his name, 38 years old, won the men's division with a time of 2 hours, 8 minutes and 37 seconds. Coming up in a couple of segments, we're going to chat with Luke Vargas. He's from Boston. He covered the marathon. He talks about Meb's finish and talks about what it was like to be at the marathon, what the atmosphere was like, and in some key places where he was, including the finish line. So how about that? 26.2 miles. And what I understand, it was nothing but joy for most of the people that ran it. It wasn't even so much for the people who weren't the elite runners about competition, but being in the race. 36,000 runners. After what happened in 2013, 3 people killed, more than 260 wounded. It was about the show of you can't keep us down and the take back that finish line. That's what some people were saying as they were coming across the finish line. So how about that? Pretty neat, pretty interesting, and the city is swarming with lots of tourists, people from all over the place. And normally, the Boston Marathon, by the way, attracts a lot of people, but even more so, I think, this time around. In fact, if we go back to last week in April 15th, there was, remember, a moment of silence at the finish line on the exact one-year anniversary of the bombings. The church bells were ringing and a flag was raised and all that sort of stuff. It was kind of a rainy day in Boston. No rain this time around, just a little bit of a brisk day, but a typical crisp spring day in Boston. And a lot of people with signs screaming out Boston Strong to the crowd and whatnot and all of that. Shailene Flanagan was the female runner that a lot of people were cheering for. She's a professional runner from the Boston area, who, thanks to Nike sponsoring her, runs full-time, and she really trained hard for the marathon, and she had the lead during a big chunk of this, but she finished 7th in the women's category. Her time, 2 hours, 22 minutes, and 2 seconds. So how about that? What's also a quick, interesting side note to the marathon is this year the race had 9,000 more runners than last year's, and some of that in an unprecedented crowd, some of that was because the people who were halfway through the race that never made it to the finish line last time around were invited back to be part of the Boston Marathon. So the course was incredibly safe. There were people that were told not to bring backpacks. They weren't allowed on the course, that no bags were allowed, and people really followed that, and it was a safe, fun race. But we'll hear more specifics on it when we go to Luke Vargas coming up in a couple of segments here on ATN. A couple of other things that have tweaked the interests of so many of you across America is what's happened to this ferry. Again, this isn't in the United States. It wasn't one of the many waterways that we have. But I think because, first of all, there were so many kids on that boat, and the fact that you had teachers and kids and they were out on an outing, a group of high schoolers that are just outside of Seoul, the ferry company now begging for forgiveness. The captain, in more than hot water, the president of South Korea, furious as to more of the details emerging as to what the captain did by not evacuating the ship and not getting those kids and those teachers on lifeboats. So instead, it's a very grim task now for the divers who are bringing body after body out of that sunken ferry. Then they lift them onto a dock. They're shrouded basically in a blanket. You have police officers who are sobbing when they see these bodies come back, when they're carried past them. So officially 105 people have died, 197 others are still missing, most of them those students and teachers on that trip that I mentioned from the high school. So 174 people were rescued. That's the good news. There were people that were rescued from this. Somehow that kind of gets lost in it. And, you know, the boat sank on Wednesday. No survivors have been found since then. And that's not surprising because the belief was really most of them were trapped once the boat listed and then sunk and they didn't get off the boat. It was too late. So the number of arrests of the crew now is 7. They're investigating what happened on the ship. I mean, it was going toward this popular island where a lot of people take holidays. And the thought is that it, somehow it hit something that caused the hull maybe to rip or something like that, but they don't know yet. They just know for sure that there was confusion and chaos on the boat as the disaster was happening. And the captain is trying to say that he didn't want to evacuate the ship. He was delaying the evacuation because of the fast currents and the water temperature being so cold, saying that it would lead to death or injury. If he's convicted of a slew of things that he's going to be charged with, he could face anywhere from 5 years to life in prison because of not evacuating that ship, specifically abandoning the boat, negligence causing bodily injury is on the list, not seeking rescue from other ships, and violating what we've talked about here on America Tonight, Seaman's Law. The captain never does that. You know, the whole thing used to be the captain goes down with the ship, not in this case. So the hope is that they can at least get the bodies because it's murky, it's poor visibility, so tough for them, not just the whole idea of pulling the bodies, but just how tough it is to get them up. So there's been a hard problem with that in making it happen as fast as they can. All of the divers who are aiding in this whole rescue recovery thing, it's not a rescue thing at this point. So it's interesting because the captain was one of the people rescued pretty much right after the boat sank. So right away, you know, there's a problem there. The captain didn't stay on the ship and didn't try to evacuate those people. More and more details, I'm sure, will come out because they're just in the beginning stages, really, of the investigation, since so much of the focus has been on recovering those kids and the teachers that were on it. It just gives you another reason to pay attention to things. I say this so much on America Tonight, but you have to be in charge of your own destiny. If you're waiting for direction, you're not going to get it. And just the images, the recordings that have come out of that, of the chaos and the panic, is really, really sad to listen to. All right, stay with us. We're kicking it to the other side. What happened politically speaking? Lots of conversation still about Hillary Clinton. That's next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Good people need help. The Homeowners Association said we had weeds and fined us $25. We told them they had the wrong house. They said if we didn't pay it, they'd file a lien. Our attorney demanded photographs, witnesses, and told them if they couldn't provide this, they must cease and desist. Issue solved. Worry less and live more with LSProtection.com. That's LSProtection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
The TalkStream Live app for iPhone, iPad, and Android is the fastest and easiest way to access live talk radio anytime, anywhere. Download the free TalkStream Live app right now and see for yourself. You'll enjoy instant access to the best in live talk radio. Find your favorite shows and discover some new ones. The TalkStream Live app is available in the App Store, the Google Play Store, or visit TalkStreamLive.com. That's TalkStreamLive.com.
This Hour of America tonight, food and religion, what do they have in common? Stay tuned and you'll find out. I know you're going to be on the edge of your seat. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Thanks for joining us on this week here on the show. There's a lot to talk about. It's a crazy week, actually. We still have the standoff in the Ukraine, if you want to call it that, or the Cold War, or how about the cold shoulder? That's more what it's like, the cold shoulder. And then we also have the push by the Bundys to say, we're not putting up with this land dispute in Nevada. And really a big line in the sand, some Democrats and Republicans, it's not so much a political thing, are siding with the rancher, and some Democrats and some Republicans aren't siding with the rancher. And Harry Reid is getting blamed for a lot of it, and he does not have a thick skin. So the dispute is front and center, as you can imagine. And there's a lot of conversation about the Western states trying to grab control of federal lands. You know, this it's interesting because of the Bundy story, it's now brung to light, if you will, how much federal land there is. I mean, when you find out what the number is, it's crazy. I didn't even realize this myself. The Bureau of Land Management, after trying to take cattle from the federal land that Bundy's family has used as grazing since 1870, which is about, give or take, 80 miles northeast of Las Vegas, that's what kicked open the whole door on this. You had 50 different people on the Hill from 9 western states that got together on Friday for a summit in Utah, where an estimated about 67% of the land is owned by the federal government, and which has twice passed provisions seeking to reduce the reach of Washington's control over the property. So the meeting at the Utah Capitol in Salt Lake City had been planned weeks ago, but the federal action at the cattle ranchers' property brought more of a precedence, more of a push, if you will, more clarification to how big this issue is. So it was very strange timing, which actually played into the wow, what's going on here? This is really frustrating that out west we have these natural resources on these lands, and with the federal government taking it, and who have a political agenda, they're making decisions on what to extract and how to extract it. Isn't that interesting? So really, the Bundy story has exploded in a couple of different areas that maybe weren't intentional, but they have now magnified the problem. Because in Utah, especially in 2012 and 2013, they tried to pass petitions to the feds to give back control of the land. I mean, the University of Utah is in the middle of coming up with a strategy for how Utah would manage the land should it leave federal hands. They're making plans for it. They're drawing up blueprints for it. And the thought is, the country wasn't founded on this. The founding fathers were trying to escape the king owning everything. The king's land, the king's taxes. And so there's a big problem here. In fact, upon digging, getting out the shovel and digging even further, in 2012, federal land ownership, there was a congressional research report that showed that the federal government owns and manages 640 million acres, or about 30% of the land in the United States. Wow, 30%. But here's the thing, most of it is in the West and in Alaska. 62% of Alaskan lands, as you probably all know, is federally owned. 62% of Idaho, federally owned. 81% of Nevada, managed by the feds. 48% of California. Do I need to go on? 35% of New Mexico. 53% of Oregon. We got a lot of people listening in these areas. 29% of Washington. And just over 48% of Wyoming. Now, what is the main reason for the feds owning these big tracts of land? Preservation and protection? Well, until they build a factory for the Chinese to come in and run doing solar panels and sell that for $5 billion, which is part of what they're talking about in Nevada. I mean, these are natural resource-rich areas, oil, gas, coal, essential in some of these local economies, ranching, lumber, mining. Think of all of that. And what does that mean? So the statistics are, I think the statistics are pretty startling, frankly. And the Bundy case has now been used, pardon the pun, in a way, as ammunition for, yeah, maybe you want to get your hands off of our land. So really what it is this arguing the Constitution. And what does that mean? And who has the ownership of the land? And should it be the Bureau of Land Management? And how much should they really own? And all of that. Now, the summit that I told you about that was scheduled way before the whole thing happened with Bundy, and I said there was, you know, 50 different representatives, basically. It included Montana and New Mexico and Arizona, Nevada, Wyoming, Oregon, Idaho, and Washington. And that makes sense because look at how much the federal government owns. And a lot of the people that were at that meeting said they're tired of federal overreach, is what they called it. They said they brought four bills to explore the idea and legislation with more teeth in those states could be on the way. Could be. It's a losing battle, though. It's been a losing battle. So can they turn it around? Will they be able to turn it around? I think the more that light is shed on this, the more people are not going to be happy with the things that they're hearing. And in Nevada, what they're talking about is the Bureau of Land Management charges grazing fees of $1.35 per animal unit a month. Most Western states charge about $12 across the entire scope of it. So Bundy's fees would increase by nine times because that's also part of it. The land in question, they'll just charge even more. That's why his bill is so high. So is it an overreach by the government what they're doing in Nevada? I mean, clearly there's an agenda here, and politics is at play, I think, in all of these different situations. When you hear the amount of land that I mentioned and how much of it is owned by the federal government. 81% of Nevada, wow. I used to live there. There are some pretty wide open spaces. 48% of California, that I had no idea it was that high. 48% of Wyoming, and you think of the natural resources that I was mentioning and what's coming out of there. But the federal government grabs the land and they're allowed to take it. So you get it sets up these showdowns. I think there could be more showdowns, Bundy-like type of showdowns, between the private guys and Washington, D.C., between the private sector and the people who have been there for a long time, and the people in Washington. So all of that happened back on Friday. Of course, in Washington, it's a couple of weeks off for lawmakers, so most of what we're hearing is reaction to different things, not anything currently happening. There are certainly some that stay behind in Washington and are doing a little work, and they might pop up on shows, but they're not coming up with these bills, they're not passing legislation, none of that is happening. It's a two-week Easter recess period, and then they're back again. Stay with us. Coming up next, you don't want to miss this, Luke Vargas on the ground in Boston for the marathon next on America Tonight.
The TalkStream Live app for iPhone, iPad, and Android is the fastest and easiest way to access live talk radio anytime, anywhere. Download the free TalkStream Live app right now and see for yourself. You'll enjoy instant access to the best in live talk radio. Find your favorite shows and discover some new ones. The TalkStream Live app is available in the App Store, the Google Play Store, or visit TalkStreamLive.com. That's TalkStreamLive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
It's time for a home security quiz. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $30? Yes, it's fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home.
Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. To get your fake TV for only $29.95 with free shipping, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional and installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
By Luke Vargas, who with a heavy heart talked about what was happening in Boston, the two bombs that went off on Boylston Street at the finish line for the Boston Marathon. He talked about his parents who lived not too far away in Watertown for what happened with the wild odyssey of the chase, obviously of the Tsarnaev brothers, and everything that ensued since then. And here is Luke Vargas, not running from a class to be on radio, but actually back in his hometown and covering the Boston Marathon. It had to be quite a day for you.
Hey, it was really great. I'm glad Ellen insisted that I come up here for this event. It's one of those things where I was on the overnight train from New York and thinking, what exactly am I going to be writing about today? And I thought, kind of the best possible thing is that there's nothing really newsworthy that happens. That it's just your average old Boston Marathon where an Ethiopian or a Kenyan wins, and it was a nice sunny day and everyone was out enjoying themselves and a lot of people had personal triumphs. And for most of the part, that's exactly what did happen, with one small exception, which is that an American man won the Boston Marathon, which hasn't happened since 1983. So this is the real curveball that I don't think really anybody was counting on, and I certainly was not counting on reporting when I woke up this morning. So a big triumph for America there. Though I will say the gentleman who did win, Mr. Geb Kef Lezighi, it's going to, you know, I've said it 10 times and I'm not getting any better at it. He is a refugee from Eritrea, which is a neighboring country to Ethiopia. So he certainly has at least that geographic advantage or genetic advantage working in his favor. But he is an American. He did win today, and it's the first time that's happened in over 30 years. So a lot of excitement today, in addition to the crowds, which were record size, in addition to this extra large field of competitors at all, and the great weather, it all just conspired to be a really emotionally cathartic day for a lot of people, including myself.
Where did you spend most of your time? Did you kind of go to different spots? Did you, you know, if I would be like you, you're on the overnight train and you're thinking, you know, you're from there. You think of all the different spots of where you could be. You think of people you could talk to. You think of different vantage points. Your family's there. What did you do for the entire day while this race was unfolding?
Well, I did two things. So I started off going to Wellesley, which is about halfway down the line. It's a very nice suburb of the city. It's actually where I went as a kid with my friends from middle school. They had a house there, and we would pitch a little plastic card table and get paper cups and fill them up with water and slice up oranges and give them to the runners. And it was great to go back there because after all the things that have changed, security-wise, et cetera, it was just really nice to see that the openness of the race, which is what gave it that really beautiful feel that I could even detect as a kid, still remains. So there are notable exceptions. I'll point out there were double the amount of law enforcement officials and along the course, including in Wellesley, where I was, this very nice suburb, military policemen at every block. These are pretty heavily armed guys in fatigues. But what is so key after having gone to major events all over the country is not necessarily who they are, but how they're acting and what they've been instructed to do. There are times when you see these MPs or military policemen, and their attitude actually makes you more concerned than relieved. You know, they're hiding behind their sunglasses and not engaging with anyone, simply scanning the crowd, kind of Secret Service style. And that makes everyone kind of afraid and nervous to be around them. Instead, these guys were petting dogs and talking to people. And I think the net effect was that a lot more people were relieved to have them there, obviously cognizant of the fact that there was going to be an increased security presence. But instead of being intimidated by it, we're quite comforted by it. And the question really, I think, long term is whether this sticks, whether this is the new normal. And I hope that isn't the case. But at least for this year, nerves were still pretty high, particularly among those approximately 5,500 people who weren't able to finish last year because of the explosions. Who were allowed to race again this year, particularly for them and for many other spectators, I think having that extra, cushion of security really did give them some emotional support. And I guess I can't fault, them for some of the minor inconveniences I experienced because of that. But I did spend the morning in Wellesley, and then for the afternoon went in downtown to the finish line, where I've never gone before. And that was really cool to see the end there. And my sort of strategy was not to conduct sort of traditional interviews, going up to people and asking them what was happening, rather to take my two cameras, my wide-angle lens and my telephoto, and go with my wide-angle right up along the places where I heard little pockets or families yelling and looking at their phones and saying, oh, she's a minute away, 20 seconds away, and then wait to see if they could come in contact with their loved one, and then simply photograph whatever interaction they have. And I have to say, I'm about to put up a photo set of these, but this... it's like three shots, the one where they're scanning and you can see their eyes looking for their family, the one where they've made the connection, and then the one where they're embracing. And it's this beautiful photo set of about 10 of these interactions. And then I simply backed away, gave someone in the family my business card and say, look, shoot me an email later tonight. I'll get the photos over to you. And just as we've been speaking, I've been getting more and more of these emails from people, and they're offering up their stories to me saying, you may not have been clear from our interaction, but I was pregnant at the time of last year's marathon, and I was hit by the explosion, and now my baby is born, and this is why my husband is carrying my baby in this photograph. And all of the stories are starting to come together now, and I'm very pleased with sort of the way I handled things, and I guess my timidity, if you will, in approaching people right away and instead letting them tell me their stories as they saw fit. I think given the fragility of a lot of the people emotionally, given the events of last year, that was probably a good decision.
You know, one of the things that I read, it's interesting listening to you saying how you approach the story, is I was reading a recap from the Boston Globe, and I love this one little headline they have where they said, negative power gone, one bombing survivor says. So how great is this? This was somebody who actually was missing a limb. But that seemed to be overwhelmingly, when we don't live in Boston and we're not there for that, is what we were getting, that a lot of people came back, like they're telling you their stories now, and felt energized and positive, not negative. Is that the sense you got?
Yes, universally. So I really can't point to anyone who had a bad attitude or was afraid today. You know, if there was fear, it was, I think, pretty quickly, soothed out by a lot of the positive vibes. And it really, again, I have been trained as a photographer even before going into radio for many years, doing campaign photography, going to events and purposefully trying to detach myself from any of the emotions in a room. And it was impossible to really turn on that switch today. And there was just, particularly at the finish line, such an outpouring of emotion. It was great just to sort of break my shell. And I didn't have any crazy filing requirements. I could just take photos and absorb and try to communicate some of it, not only today, but hopefully in the coming days. And just as a Bostonian, a very, very worthwhile experience.
You mentioned for the men that Meb, an American man, won this 2 hours, 8 minutes, 37 seconds. What happened on the women's side?
Well, for a while, it looked like we were going to have a sweep by the Americans for about 20 miles, and I was able to catch this at mile 15. An American named Shalane Flanagan, who is not an Eritrean refugee, certainly does not enjoy the high altitude genetic advantages or training advantages, was in the lead. She slipped to about 4 minutes or 3.5 minutes back by the end of everything and finished in seventh. The winner was a Kenyan named Rita Jeptu. I believe this is her third victory. So no surprises really there on the women's side. But again, this sense, I think, that Americans can win again. That there are, were 1 million spectators, I think is the estimates, which would be about double what they were last year. You put this all together and you have, I think just another reinvigoration of the importance of this event for this city and for the region. That's not a bad thing. It's really nice. So Patriots Day is one of those holidays when I mention it in New York, people roll their eyes or don't even know what the heck I'm talking about. But it is special to come back here and partake in this sort of New England holiday with the Red Sox playing and everyone walking around Boston, kind of for the first day of spring, if you will, even if it's a little bit nippy, really special. And again, I'm not really hitting you with much hard news today, particularly no depressing United Nations story, but I think a little break like this is good every once in a while.
So last thing, your parents, they had to be happy to see you, number one, but also what was it like through their eyes to just know that everybody was descending on the city again? It was a marathon, especially your mom, because didn't she see somebody, wasn't there a police officer crawling through the backyard last year?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I was giving her news photography tips from New York, saying, oh, she's on the phone. She said, there's a SWAT team from New Hampshire outside in the backyard in full gear right outside the window. And I said, oh, get the camera out. And, she actually is a photographer and writer for the Boston Globe. So she's got those the skills. I just needed to convince her that she wasn't going to get killed by taking a photo of these guys. So that was very worthwhile. And, yes, it is nice. Watertown. It was actually pleasantly kind of quiet today. Everyone was at the marathon. So even though we've got kind of our own Watertown strong thing going on here and, sort of our own memorials to attend to, it's nice that the center of attention was really on the racers today, as it should be.
All right, Luke Vargas, glad that you enjoyed the day. Thanks for sharing with us from Talk Radio News. We'll talk to you again soon, Luke.
Hey, take care. Have a good night.
Thanks, you too.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
We're going to talk about that as we make our final couple turns here for this hour of America tonight. But before we dive into that, let's just say that everybody connected to this show is in a good mood right now. Why? Because the Minnesota Wild did what they had to do, beating Colorado 1-0. So Colorado might leave the series, but they picked up a game. And my Dallas Stars shut out Anaheim 3-0. Woohoo! It's kind of the daily salute, you know, when you root for a sports team. And since Matt and I seem to be the only ones across America at this time of night that are big hockey fans, it's pretty exciting stuff, isn't it, Matt?
Yeah, definitely. And I don't know how much anyone's paying attention, but this playoff season has been pretty
awesome.
Good so far. Especially, I mean, I've been really in tune to what the Wild have been doing, and Game 1 and Game 3 were pretty awesome games. I still can't believe we lost Game 1, but we did. But overall, the NHL playoffs, it's always one of the best times of the year, I think, for playoffs in general. I hear the NBA had a pretty decent night as well, something I don't really pay attention to it, but I know Oklahoma City had some overtime craziness happening too. But for me, the NHL playoffs are where it's at, and it's been a really fun week.
Yeah, what's been great is if you've never seen a hockey game, here's the thing. This is the time, Matt's right, to watch, and there's been a bunch of overtime games. The game tonight with Minnesota was an overtime game, but it's been exciting edge-of-your-seat stuff. St. Louis and Chicago has been a really wild series, actually, to watch. Pittsburgh has been a crazy series with Columbus. And Dallas and Anaheim, Dallas finally bit back because Anaheim, which is one of the best teams with the, at the number one seed coming out of the West, to hit the ice. Dallas was able to come back on them. And for the Wild, they did a thing like they swapped goalies out this time around, right, Matt?
Yeah, we've used four different goaltenders this entire year. So, I mean, it's been a little crazy. We've had injuries. Josh Harding has MS, so he went out after like half the season after being basically our MVP. Then Backstrom came in. He got hurt. We went with a rookie. He ended up getting hurt, so then we traded for Bryzgalov. He was playing. He didn't play that well, so we put the rookie Kemper back in, and he played amazing tonight. And, I mean, you got to roll with him now, but it's been a little bit of a carousel situation there at the goalie position. And I don't know. I mean, tonight there are a lot of good games on it, but it's like the game three in playoff series is usually the one where the intensity just kind of teeters over the edge, and you'll get a lot of huge hits, maybe a couple punches after the whistle. It's very testy, and that's exactly what happened in the games I saw today.
Yeah, pretty good stuff. Tune it in, folks, just for a couple of minutes. I promise you won't be disappointed. If you even like sports a little bit, it's worth checking it out, because if you've never seen hockey, this is the time to see it. And since Matt brought it up, I'll throw in these NBA scores. The Grizzlies beat the Thunder 111-105. That was in overtime. That's huge because Memphis really staves off elimination. That's the whole thing. They stave off the Thunder. They weren't on the verge of elimination, but getting to that point where everybody starts talking about elimination, that series is actually pretty exciting, tied at one apiece. I talked to Jamal Crawford last Friday. He's the sixth man on the Clippers, and the Clippers were beaten by the Warriors out of the gate, and now they have a beat on Golden State, 114-81. That game is in the fourth and final quarter. So it's been interesting, too, to watch the NBA. All right, I talked about God and food. So here's the deal with this. Have you ever seen Jesus in your pancakes? Have you ever seen your rice form something that looked like the Virgin Mary? Over the years, we had the potato chip, remember? Potato chip Christ. We had the Cheeto Jesus that was found in a bag of Cheetos. We had the fish stick that had the image of Christ in it. We had the breakfast taco that had a Jesus image in it. There was also the pancake with Jesus and Mary together. And then there was Christ on the banana. On the orange, we had Jesus after somebody sliced open an orange. We had on a piece of naan bread the image of Christ found in an Indian restaurant. And there was also the pierogi, which, by the way, and it was pretty clear the image, an image of Jesus and the pierogi sold on eBay for over $1,700. $1,700. Really, it did. Pizza. There was somebody with a three-cheese pizza that resembled the face of Christ. That was in Posh Pizzas in Brisbane, Australia. There was the banana chip. You get the idea. That had Jesus in the banana chip. And the pretzel that looked like the Virgin Mary holding Jesus in a honey mustard pretzel. The pita bread in New Zealand that looked like Christ. There was the grilled cheese sandwich that had a Christ image on it. And Cheetos seemed to be popular. Another Cheeto of Jesus. And then I could go on and on. I'll give you one more. How about that? There was the ice cream, a bucket of ice cream at Hatch Family Chocolates in Utah, where there was clearly the image of Christ. I mean, of course, whatever search engine you use, you just pop Jesus in food and you'll get all those things that I just said. This is radio. I get it. And when you always hear the stories when somebody found something in the potato chip or whatever, all the different things that I mentioned, and the fact that somebody could sell it on eBay and make a profit is really crazy. I do have to say that the images really look, really look like what they're supposed to look like. So it's interesting that there was an Easter promotional poster for a Seattle burger restaurant that featured Jesus smoking a joint and clasping a sandwich. And, of course, this also is something you can find because it went viral. The restaurant Lunchbox Laboratory was kind of doing a riff off of Easter Sunday falling on April 20th this year because of in that area, they live in one of the first two states to legalize marijuana. 420 is a pop culture reference to marijuana consumption. So a lot of people didn't get that. They didn't understand what that meant. The Lunchbox has been doing a two-for-one promotion for the past 2 years to advertise Burger of the Gods, which is their signature dish. So I think you're kind of getting this. And they added the reefer reference and a bubble slogan over Jesus' head that said, "When I get back, all I want is a burger of the gods." And here's the thing. So some people are saying this is incredibly offensive and, you know, look for the thunderbolts to come down. And others are saying, no, that's not an Antichrist thing. It's peaceful. It's Jesus having a sandwich and a blunt. So it's not going to hurt anything. The ad was emailed to 15,000 customers, cost a couple of $100 to create, and it's generated, check this out, tens of thousands of dollars in free advertising because of the pickup on social media. So in the, and this is how I found this, there was a posting on the conservative firing line, and they say it's hard to pick out the most offensive thing about the ad. That the whole thing is offensive and it's impossible to pick it apart. They say, you know, if he was holding a goblet of wine, that would be different than if he's holding a joint. It was the retort back to the whole joint thing, whatever. And they say they're going to use the promotion again next year, except for they're going to take the marijuana joint away because Easter falls on April 5th. So that's what that whole 420 was about. The 420 was about the date and the reference to pot, which I guess a lot of people didn't understand and whatnot. It's interesting, talking about marijuana for a quick second, there's all that conversation about will it be legalized nationally across the board eventually, and nationwide marijuana legalization, a lot of people seem to think it's inevitable. 3/4 of Americans in a recent poll, when they were asked whether they support it or not, say they would support it. They would support it. The Pew Center's found that. So those numbers are shifting a little bit. I don't know. Something to think about, certainly. Thanks for listening to this hour of America Tonight.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terriganix. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.